The last part of our series on sundown towns looks at Loveland, Colorado, which sits north of Denver near Rocky Mountain National Park. Longtime residents recall signs telling Black people they weren't welcome. Those memories and recent city council actions have sparked a racial reckoning. KUNC's Adam Reyes reports for the Mountain West News Bureau.
One of Loveland's first Black Lives Matter protests was in June 2020. Co-organizer Elijah Marshall held a "My Blackness is Not a Threat" sign and turned to tell a 10-year-old girl,
"You're loved, and you're going to grow up to be a strong, beautiful Black woman, regardless of what this world tells you, okay?"
Marshall's very fond of the city she's called home for 6 years, despite racist comments, harsh stares, and angry backlash against her peaceful protest. And she's not alone. Discussions about how present racism really is or ever was in Loveland put residents at odds.
Black community is no longer victim of institutional racism.
Yeah, we're still not welcoming, even though the signs are gone.
We had no prejudice.
The racism was so known.
It's even crazy to call it history because it's like current events. It's happening.
Loveland as a town that accepts diversity.
Summer 2020 put the issue in the spotlight. A Black door-to-door salesman held at gunpoint, armed, angry counter-demonstrators at a Loveland Against Racism rally, and more, like all-white city councilor debates over race.
Because I do not consider myself even remotely part of any kind of a problem out there in terms of racism.
So I want to say, Dave, thanks for not being a racist.
In August 2020, the mayor introduced a 275-word resolution to officially acknowledge systemic racism and diversity's value. No action required. The council's mostly conservative majority voted to shelve it indefinitely because...
I really do not vote on anything I haven't had time to read and study. That's been a general council rule.
Councilor and mayoral candidate Don Overcash and the rest of the majority say they just wanted to study the resolution in a future meeting. But that's not what they actually voted to do.
There were elements of it that I probably, upon study, would disagree with.
Overcash acknowledges a few racist individuals likely live in Loveland, but he doesn't think there's a pervasive problem, despite non-white residents testifying before the council about racist experiences.
I can direct you to people of color that would say, "I don't see what the problem is." They would say, "They're making an issue."
Overcash wants to focus on solutions like affordable housing. He says Loveland's sundown past doesn't need to be addressed.
That's divisiveness versus solving a problem. So I just think we got a lot of work to do.
If we're talking about division, sweeping it under the rug only like divides us more.
Elijah Marshall, a Black certified nursing assistant, says there'd be benefits to addressing hard history in a way that tells citizens,
Black citizens especially, that we understand, we know where we've been, and we empathize. So how can we move forward?
Sundown signs, KKK rallies, a Black nanny forced out, and more hateful acts worked to keep Loveland white back then. Today, it remains overwhelmingly white. Some try to justify its lack of diversity by saying something like,
"This is all by chance, and it's just kind of natural that white folks end up in charge of things, dominating this town, and so on."
That echoes in the hundreds of sundown towns the late sociologist James Lowen uncovered nationally. He says that narrative is false because
between 1865 and 1890, Black folks went all over the place.
That included Loveland. But things changed in 1930 and 40, as the census counted zero Black people in the city. This era set diverse population growth back decades in many areas, Lowen says, limiting Black generational property wealth.
I don't know what would draw people of color here, but I can tell you what turns them away. What turns them away is feeling like they don't belong.
Rob Pride moved to the area around 1990. Of Loveland's 37,000 residents then, about 100 were Black. While the 48-year-old Black man and local police officer says he's endured racism here, he insists it's not part of the community's overall atmosphere. But he says his view shouldn't be used to write off others' differing experiences.
Because they're not that way, because they're not racist, because they don't treat people bad, maybe the attitude tends to be like, it doesn't happen here, that's just not Loveland.
That needs to stop, he says. Racist experiences should be taken more seriously. Loveland's racial reckoning didn't end last summer. This year, talk of city-level inclusion efforts like a diversity commission led to intense debate between councilors and citizens, some calling the idea divisive. And local school leaders are under fire for equity efforts. Still, there's forward momentum too, like local nonprofits organizing the city's first Juneteenth celebration this summer.
Did the 13th Amendment end slavery? I don't think so.
26-year-old Alaysia Marshall hopes to raise a child here someday. She wants them to know,
even though like a place can have some spooky stories and a really shady past, it's still a place where you can go and feel safe and feel heard and feel listened to.
But getting there, Marshall and other non-white residents say, starts with acknowledging that really shady past. A difficult task, considering many white people aren't willing to believe those residents' daily experiences with racism now. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Adam Reyes.